Good evening and welcome to the Thursday Night Tech Talk. This is N9YNU with KC9YCA manning the clock, but tonight we've got a special net. We're going to be talking about FM38 and the upgrades, and we have N9FBF tonight. It will be talking about the FM38 network, and this is the new features to the system and whatnot. So, this is an open net. All are welcome. If you're new to Ham and you have a question, feel free to ask. We'll try and get that addressed. But tonight's topic will primarily focus on FM38. And we'll pretty much start taking check-ins and so we can get to tonight's guest speaker. So with nothing further, let's start taking check-ins in the segments of A-Alpha through M-Mic. A-Alpha through M-Mic coming up.
And here's Kilo Golf Pine Golf Papa.
Kilo Delta 9 Charlie Echo Delta. Delta, Niner, Charlie, Bravo, Papa, Rick, and Appleton on the Oshkosh repeater, ready to listen and learn from our email this evening. Over.
All right, we got Roger, KC9GP, good evening, welcome to the net. KC9CED and KD9CBP. Good evening, Rick. Welcome to the net. Let's move on to the next segment of A Alpha through Z Zulu on tonight's Tech Talk.
Here is Kilowatt Delta Niner Bravo Whiskey Bravo.
This is Kilowatt Bravo 9 Sierra X-Ray Hotel. Good evening, Irv, and everyone on the net.
Net control, this is Kilo Charlie 9 Yankee Papa Kilo, Kevin and Mabel through the Ellington repeater.
This is November 1. Golf, Golf, Alpha.
This is Kilo Charlie 9, Quebec, Victor.
This is Kilo Delta Niner, Echo Tango, Echo.
Yeah, let's hold it right there. All stations standby. All right, we have KD9BWB, KB9SXH, KC9YPK, Kevin N1GGA, KC9QV, and KD9ETE. Good evening, welcome to the net. Alright, any other check-ins? A Alpha through Z Zulu. A Alpha through Z Zulu.
Here is Kilo Charlie Niner Uniform Delta X-Ray.
This is Kilo Charlie 9, Quebec Mike Kilo.
We have KC9 UDX, well, Matt, and KC9 QMK. Good evening, welcome to the net. KC9 UDX at 9YNU, you still doing the 2-meter net tonight?
Roger, 10 o'clock. And, yeah, I, drawing a blank on the frequency for some reason because you caught me off guard here. Having a really tough time hearing the repeater tonight here in the basement. KC9UDX.
I don't know where my normal netbook is right now, but I thought it was something 700.
145.7. That's 145.7, plus or minus wherever we happen to be. KC9UDX.
Alright, tonight, Matt, KC9UDX holds a 2-meter AM net on 145.7 megahertz. That's 145.7 AM. That's why you said plus or minus. So if you're in the Milwaukee area around 10 o'clock, try and join us for the AM net at 10. Alright, any other stations? A Alpha through Z Zulu.
Net control, Kilo Delta 9, Bravo Kilo Charlie, Matthew in Oshkosh.
Hello, Matty, Matty 2x4, 89BKC. Good evening, welcome to the net. Matt, are you at the Makerspace?
Negative. I am at home. We had my youngest daughter's school birthday party at the amusement park thing here in Appleton. So I actually really haven't been to Makerspace that much past few weeks. Too much stuff going on, you know, hitting DRS cars and things like that.
I'm sorry. Oh, dear. All right, well, I'm hoping by that everything is okay and stuff. You don't sound like nothing terribly bad happened there other than the car, but... All right, just seeing if we had an audience at Makerspace, but we I guess we'll catch up later, and we'll get back to the FM38 featured in that tonight. But thanks, Matt. Go ahead and give us your call sign so we can move on.
Yeah, everyone is safe from the accident. We totaled the car, but in any case, we'll go ahead and hand it back to Net Control, KD9BKC.
Alright, Matt. I'll catch you later. Alright, as mentioned tonight, we're going to be talking about FM38. Tonight's featured guest is AMO and 9FBF, November Niner, Fox, Bravo Fox. And, let's see, before we start, does anybody have any questions or anything before we start the net? N9YNU, Net Control, standing by. Alright, with nothing heard, we're going to hand the net over to AMO, N9FBF, N9YNU. Take it away, assist in net control.
Alrighty, thanks Irv, good intro, quite a few check-ins there, so that's cool. Alright, I guess we'll start with the whole business. I'll go through a little bit of history and how we got here and all that kind of good stuff. But, I did a little bit of digging through some of our ledgers, paperwork, and found some stuff that I completely forgotten about. Kind of cool. Anywho, it goes back to March of 1987 when we first started this little sleigh ride. Not sure why. I think back then repeaters were very active. I think it was, you know, before the cell phone age, and people weren't in their cars, on their phones, or listening to their satellite radio, what have you. They were in a car, they were often on the radio, so systems were very busy often. So a bunch of us got together and how we do our own thing and goof around and learn a little bit and what have you. So there was six folks initially involved in getting the system together. Myself, Bob, 9GMT, Victor, K9FLQ, which was the site for the original system at his house in New Berlin, Mike, K9TGN, Tom, 9EAW, and his cousin Glenn, 9EAU. So we all chipped in and bought a Uniden repeater, a little tabletop unit, 25 watts with a little small duplexer, and I'm not sure if it included the antenna at the time of the purchase or where we scavenged that from, but spent $1,400 on buying the original system. It was at Victor's house in New Berlin on a 40-foot maybe-ish tower. Used a hunk of old RG-8 that he had laying about, put it on the air, and off it went. I lived time maybe 2 or 3 air miles away, not very far. And from there to my house on a handheld, it was barely copyable. So it's come a long ways from where it started. Pause for a second here. Looking at the ledger, we actually had paid members back in the day to help support him. Our first member was Bob, WDNANY, back in May 1st of 87. Our fifth member, this was kind of fun, was Steve, 9FSE, who 25 years later is now my coworker, so strange stuff. In the ledger, some interesting stuff. February of 88, so less than a year after it went on the air, I have a notation that we bought a new power transistor for the amplifier, so in less than a year we managed to cook it. Probably because, you know, it was 25 watts, but that wasn't good enough, so we kept turning the power up and had it doing 40 or 45 watts, and then, you know, it ceased to function. But that's been the theme for many years. Later in 88, a couple of the guys that were originally in the group, Tom and Glenn, figured out that Bob and I were nutty, spending, you know, a lot of time, a lot of money on this whole project, and they bowed out and continued to be supporting members, but were no longer owners in the system. I've got notes as early as September of 88 that we were messing with remote sites and voting hardware, which kind of surprised me. I didn't think we jumped into that quite as quickly as we did, but apparently so. By August of 1990, we were working on a second repeater, which is now Allenton, F2. And the last entry I have in the ledger is from March of 94, when we bought some polyphasers and Yaesu modules, which we were using for remote receive hardware back at the time. After that, Bob and I got involved in our computer business, and the repeater project kind of fell to the wayside for a while, but, it's been hard at it again for quite a while. I'll pause for a second here. So that was then. 27 years later, something silly. Bob did a neat compilation of stats for stuff we have on the air and in use currently. Some of this surprises me, which is interesting considering we work with it all the time and pretty familiar with it, but added up a bunch of stuff and this is kind of nutty. The system currently consists of 72 receivers and transmitters, which are almost all, there's a couple exceptions, GE Delta vintage radios. And if Bob is still in range on his commute here, we'll have him talk about that a little bit. He's much more familiar with them. A lot of radios. Total of antennas that are currently being used for the system, 41. 24 omnis, 17 link beams. This one's a fun one. Total feet of feed line, Heliax. It's all rigid Heliax feed line, low loss, pretty much required for repeater service. throughout the network, there is 8,876 feet of feed line in service. About a mile and a half. That was shocking. I'm glad I didn't pay for all that. Antennas. Bob did this one for fun. If you add up the overall height of all the antennas throughout the system, just shy of 10,000 feet, it would be, you know, if you stacked them all together, 9,889 feet. So, wanky stuff. But that's where we are today. So before I continue, any questions on all that good stuff?
Well, can you tell me the average height of most of the receive sites?
Hi, Jim. All the receive sites at this point are on commercial sites. They started out at ham locations, and I'll go into a little bit of that later on, but if I were to guess, an average height would probably be maybe 300 feet. There's a couple that are 100, 200-ish, and there's several that are 400 or 500, 600 feet, so let's go with 3. That's a good number.
KB9SXH, back to you guys.
Alrighty, and that's remote receive sites, not repeaters themselves. But that's probably a pretty good guess for on the repeaters as well. Alrighty, anyone else? Okay, very good. So, let's see here. I'll go through a brief outline of the Milwaukee system. We'll start with that, make it, that's the main hub. That's where the bulk of the action is, but a lot of the other outlying repeaters now have more users, and that's cool as well. For a long time, they were kind of rebroadcasting a lot of 38 traffic, but there's a lot of activity on Allenton, Baraboo, Oshkosh, Onalak, and now Delafield just went online. Speaking of, Matt, I don't know if you tried listening to that at your place, KC9UDX 440.300. I don't know if that's any better where you are or not, but give it a shot. Anywho's, FM38 Milwaukee has 8 voted receivers, so effectively a bunch of remote receive sites, which are like many repeaters. They consist of a receiver, a transmitter, usually some filtering to have a nice selective front end, usually a preamp of some sort, either in the radio or external to boost the sensitivity, because, you know, we're ham, so we gotta get every dB out of it we can. Typically omni receive antenna and a link beam, a dedicated link frequency back to the voting hub. The voting hub is currently out in New Berlin. Used to be downtownish Milwaukee, but they moved it out there, so we'd have a little easier access and better coverage for linking systems to the west, like Delafield. So currently, if you're on 38, one or many of the receivers hears you, the transmitters kick in at the voting hub. There's an omni antenna that hears all those remotes, which is about 400 feet on a tower. Goes through a window filter, which is a specifically tuned set of cavities that only allow a limited range of frequencies and to minimize out-of-band interference. Goes through a 24-port receive combiner, so you only need one antenna to do the job of receiving all those antennas. Back in the old days, we used to hang Yagis at Victor's house for every site, and his tower looked like a porcupine. But now it's all done with one antenna and some hardware. There's 8 receivers. Well, there's actually 13 receivers, but 8 receivers listening to all those remotes at the main site. All those get fed to a voter, which...
Time out. Time out. Reset.
Went a little too long on that one. What part did I chop off at there, Irv?
I lost track. I was trying to find your phone number to kind of let you know what happened. Hey, can you give me a text at 414-899-8175, 899-8175, and I can let you know if this happens again a little quicker. But, let's see, I think we heard up to, we heard the porcupine at the Maryland site. I forgot the gentleman's name, the 28-port antenna. Jenna, what else for the timeout? That's just a little bit after that.
Yeah, all of it gets fed to a voter, which, and that's where it dropped out.
Okay, got her. Irv, any comments?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, if you can text me your phone, or if you want to give me a simplex frequency, I can, we're close enough, I can hit you and let you know if this happens again.
Text, manual text. Got a vintage phone, about as old as a repeater. Maybe not quite that old. I'll turn on a background receiver here, and when the needle falls down to zero, I guess that means I'm talking too long. Okie doke. So, signal spits out of the voter. It says, okay, during this transmission, actually, it samples real time, so it'll bounce back and forth. So if you're mobile, portable, and you're fading between sites, it'll just switch continuously and pass the best signal to the voter, I'm sorry, to the controller. The controller keys a link transmitter, gets passed downtown, that keys the main site transmitter, and that's what goes over the air. So, didn't miss too much. There's also a secondary link transmitter at New Berlin at the hub site, which keeps a transmitter, which brings up the Della field repeater system. Milwaukee/New Berlin is a hub site. Allenton is also a hub site for the northern links. And we've got some plans on maybe upgrading Final Act to make that a hub as well, to bring in the stuff from north, northeast. Ideally someday we'd like to do maybe Green Bay and some stuff like that, but matter of finding sites that are ham friendly and free or cheap. So anyways, let me pause here. So anyways, so when I key up my radio here, roughly if I'm on a base station and into all the receive sites, I'm activating 17 receivers and 11 transmitters before you hear me. So, a lot of plumbing. Most of it works pretty well. Occasionally you get some glitches or something fails or what have you, but that's Milwaukee. That's not counting the other 6 linked repeaters, plus repeaters that are linked in, like Rick, K9VZD, 442.6, and Steve, was linked via All-Star, voice over IP, out to Las Vegas, WB9STH. Either one of you guys are on tonight, Rick or Steve? And we're just melting their PAs out across the country, but otherwise occupied. Alrighty, I'll pause here and see if there's any questions on all that coolness, and on FBL.
And 9-1, you're just for ID.
Yeah, and KB9SXH was my earlier comment, ID.
And AB9DW here asking, Over how many years has this system developed?
Started in 1987, so 28 years, I think. My math is good.
Yeah, Roger, AB90W, thanks for the info.
And then where are you? Thanks, Dale. Irv?
Let me just, since it's the bottom of the hour, let me just see if anybody else wants to check in to the net tonight. Any more check-ins to the Thursday night Tech Talk? This is N9YNU Net Control. A Alpha to Zulu.
This is Whiskey 9, India, Echo Whiskey.
Echo Delta 9, Echo Sierra Bravo.
November 9, Sierra Echo Alpha.
Alright, let's hold it right there. I got W9IEW and 9SEA. Good evening, gentlemen. And Dale, AB90W. But Echo Sierra Bravo Station, I did not get the prefix. Could you come back with your call sign and standard phonetics? The Echo Sierra Bravo Station only.
Sorry about that. That would be Kilo Delta 9, Echo Sierra Bravo.
All right, thank you. Not recognizing KD9 ESB. Good evening. Welcome to the net. As you've heard, this is a pretty big radio repeater network. Ever since I've heard about it when I was working at the zoo, I was friends with Dave Shank, KA9WXN, and I remember Dave talking about FM38 and how great it was, and this is back in 1990, so this would have been about 3 years after the beginning of the FM38, and I remember Dave bragging about how we were just heard from Milwaukee all the way to Baraboo, so I remember the early days, and and it was a little bit simpler, but that's why we, for the new hams, make sure you wait 2 seconds before speaking when you key up to allow for system delays, and that's what we need. So, all right, any more check-ins? A Alpha through Z Zulu.
N9GMT repeater.
And any traffic or questions before we proceed? N9YNU, standing by. All right, AMO, the official counts here on the logbook, not counting GMT, is 18 people so far checked into the net. 19, I guess, including yourself, should include you in there. So 19 people on the net tonight, AMO, those are the numbers from the net control. N9FBF, N9YNU, take it away.
Okay, cool. I'll pause here for a second. Bob, GMT, are you still in range?
I don't know, you tell me, N9GMT Mobile. Kind of outdrove Delafield and on the Baraboo system now, very terrain challenged at the moment, but how's my signal? Go ahead.
Not good. Got a little mobile flutter and stuff, but you're fine. Whereabouts are you?
Oh, I'm going to say about 18 miles east of Madison. The Delafield system covered well up to Lake Mills, and then kind of started to get crunchy, so I switched over here to the Baraboo system.
Okay. Before I delve into some other stuff here, do you want to talk about G-Deltas and their history and maybe about how the remotes are set up as far as carrier squelch, pass through, all that kind of cool stuff.
Try, but I'm somewhat skeptical that my signal will remain good enough, but we'll give it. I'll unkey once in a while and check to see if I'm still making it, so I'm not wasting my breath. How's that sound?
Bump your zone button there to the high power setting and give that a quick shot.
KC6RKI.
So while you look for your zone button, well, this other gentleman's got to say there, KC6IKI maybe, I might have that wrong. November 9, Fox, Bravo, Fox, Milwaukee, go ahead.
Good evening, it's KC6IKI, Atlin here in Las Vegas. Heard how I sound, I'm out of gate with a T60R, 5 watts with a diamond antenna.
Got a little bit of noise on you. Well, I probably should have paused a little more there. Got a little bit of noise on you, but overall sounding good. K6IKI, I didn't quite catch your name if I passed that again.
Name is Alan. Alan, where are you located?
I'm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The system you're listening to out in Vegas is linked in via All-Star to a network in southeastern Wisconsin. So we do a TechNet every Thursday at 8 p.m. and we're kind of talking about some of the history of the repeater and operation, etc. Go ahead, Alan.
That sounds like fun. I'm just really kind of an HF next. I'm getting a mobile. I'll tell you exactly what model is. I'm looking at the book right now. I always look at the model number. It's a nice little Houston mobile. It's a, I'm going to see what it is. Oh, shit, just had the page open. Yaesu S, that's the one. Yaesu ST-857D.
Alrighty, very good. Well, we're in the middle of a net here, so any questions or comments on the system before we continue on?
I just listened to the internet, was on. Sorry about that, but thanks for chatting with me. I'll listen in.
Alrighty, I'll stick around. Bob, I want you to make a brief transmission, see what you sound like.
Okay, I think I found the high power zone. How copy? N9GMT mobile.
I think you sound better than I do, so you're rocking. So if you want to comment on any of that last half hour of me rambling, feel free, and or bring up some other topics.
Well, I'm 94 west at, Highway 73. So, closing in on Madison. Anyway, let me throw in some commentary about the radios that we use while I'm still in range. And basically, the radios, as Emil said, by the way, Emil, you're doing a fantastic job so far. It's a good, good program you got here. We'll have to double your pay. Anyway, the Delta S, GE Delta S, made by General Electric, the vintage of the radio is approximately, from memory, 1990, 1991, 92, somewhere in there. It was kind of a cutting-edge radio of the day in that it has surface mount components, is computer programmable, no crystals. They were frequently used in, police cars and ambulances and dump trucks and you name it. Nice high quality radio, list price back then right around $2,700 per copy. Comes in various flavors, comes in band splits,
various UHF band splits, VHF, 6 meters, 2 meters, high power, low power, 16 channel, 32 channel, wide band front end, narrow band front end, and many options, including with tone board, without tone board, and many other flavors of ice cream. How copy so far, Emil?
Very good. You're solid.
Okay, cool. Well, as Emil said, we have 70-some of these things in play right now, and if they were $2,700 a piece, we would have had to have won the lottery in order to do it this way. Fortunately, you can find these things for about $25 a piece. Some a little less, some a little more. Sometimes you have to buy the tone board, sometimes you have to buy a cable set to plug into it, but these radios are designed to be remoted in a trunk and have a long control cable which went to a control head mounted on the dash of whatever vehicle it was used in. So what I do, what we do, is we don't use the heads, and we cut the cable apart and strip out all unnecessary conductors, which is most of them, and leave the power leads, transmit audio, receive audio, carrier scopes detect, CTCSS detect, logic outputs, maybe a couple of other things, but basically we only leave the wires that we need to do the task at hand. The front ends on these radios, because we use the S version and not the SX version, a couple of megs wide for front end instead of 30 or 40 mega wide front end like you would find on a traditional ham radio of the current era, which makes them a lot more suitable for repeater operation because they're less subject to interference and intermod and things of that nature. So they got a nice helical resonator front end, pretty selective, and what can I say, we like them. Let me recycle.
N9GMT repeater.
So in terms of receiver audio, we're generally using what's known as volume squelch high, or discriminator audio, not speaker audio, or any other level that might be variable. So it's a fixed, unsquelched output from the receiver. And the remote receivers are generally in carrier squelch mode, which will confuse most people. But the transmitters that those receivers are interfaced to are modified so that the microphone inputs pass whatever tone is heard from the receiver input. And the reason that we do this is a lot of linked repeater systems fall into a trap where they have decoder after decoder after decoder, and every one of those adds 170, 175 milliseconds approximately delay to decode or undecode. And all of that adds to key-up delay. So what we do is we pass the subaudible tone generated by the end user, propagate it through the system, and decode it once at the hub site. So needless to say, we pay very careful attention to audio fidelity, frequency response, and things of this nature, and make the levels absolutely accurate with a service monitor and appropriate test equipment so that reliable decoding can occur. The link transmitters on your average remote receiver have some of their components modified in order to make the audio frequency response of the transmitters very flat. And what that means is there's less than 1 dB of change from 0 to about 3 kilohertz in the audio passband. And most of that change occurs, stand by for recycle. And most of that 1 dB occurs in the higher frequency area where we don't really need that energy as much anyway. So, well, what else can I say? Good radios, hard to come by, very rare now. And I think the reason for that is the Midwest is kind of a Motorola stronghold due to the proximity of Motorola in Chicago. GE was very hot on the East Coast, so.
All right, you disappeared midstream there, so pause for a second and see if you're back in action. And on FBO.
I've been talking, am I out of range or did my radio die?
No, you were holding the system well, you just kind of stopped mid-sentence, so don't know if you unkeyed or hit a timeout timer in your radio or something.
Well, the radio did beep, but I unkeyed to recycle, so I'm surprised. I hope I was talking continuously there. What's the last thing you heard before you lost me?
GE Delta availability and East Coast.
Sounds good. Well, I think that was closing that thought anyway. I'm kind of at a critical junction here where I can't miss my off-ramp or I'll regret it, approaching the Madison area from the east. I guess I'll pause to see if anybody has any questions on the radio before I kick it back to AMO, and I may have to pop out of here anyway. So standing by for questions on 9GMT Mobile.
KG9GP.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I really appreciate the system, and after listening to it, I got a lot more appreciation for it. It's amazing. I'm just wondering, though, I'm in New Berlin, and you had a New Berlin site which I could hit with real low power, but there was some kind of linkage problem where it kept dropping out. Now it's just gone altogether. Do you know when or if that'll ever be back? Or I don't know how serious the problem was, but I kind of like that because I can set my power down to a quarter watt and save my battery. So I just wonder if that'll ever come back. KG9GP.
We had a New Berlin analog repeater, but that is off the air. However, there is a receiver there, and there always was, at least on this system. We do have a plan to bring back a simulcast transmitter for off of 38, but that's a topic I'll let Emil talk about. So so stand by. I don't know if Emil's going to talk about our plans for doing some more to Waukesha transmit coverage. Emil, is that on your agenda?
No, that was a secret. Way to go, mister.
All right, well, the cat's out of the bag. I'm getting close to my destination, so I'm going to have to hurry it up. Any other questions on the radios at the moment?
N9YNU.
Go ahead.
I lost count of the radios. I think you said something like 72, but now you said that the radios are scarce. Now what happens, let's say that you have, something happen. I don't want to curse that what happened again, but you got backup receivers for these sites? What would happen, let's say like in another 20 years, are you looking at replacing them with different radios, or do you have enough stock, or are there still enough supply? What's your contingency plan with if you can't find these GE Deltas? Back to net at 9YNU.
I don't know how my signal is. I'm in Madison now, but basically I have what probably should be a lifetime supply, but those are famous last words. It depends how ambitious we are with the system plans. So I have a supply, and I'm hoping that it's enough to last us for the rest of the FM38 build-out project. 20 years from now, that's a long time, and Emil and I are well into retirement years by then. And by then, I'm sure digital will create a problem for our network anyway. Go ahead.
I don't know, I'm a fan of analog, but I hope they don't change it and that they do keep it. And hopefully ham radio can keep all these modes alive and theory practicing and working and whatnot. So, but thank you, Bob. Appreciate your time and your dedication to the system and building it out. I remember Dave Shank, K9WXN, talking about it back at the zoo. And I remember about it, when it was a BBFM38, and it's matured to be a very, very nice system. But thank you, Bob. I'll give it back to you, and then you can hand it back to Emil, and he can continue trying to put the cat back in or out of the bag. N9GMT and 9YNU.
Well, I hope I'm making it. I'm in Madison right now, in the city, and so that's about the limit of my contribution right now, and I have to duck out for a while here. Got to make a pickup. Back to Emil, and I'll jump in later if I can. And I'm GMT Mobile.
Okie doke. You're solid, Bob. No problem. So, Beltline there is your friend. Assuming you're still on the Beltline and not off on one of the side streets there. You're doing good. Alrighty. I'll backtrack just a second here. Yes, there was, that's somewhere down my list here, but might as well bump it up a little bit. We did have a P25 machine on the air out in New Berlin, which was mixed mode, meaning it'll do P25 or analog. So we had it configured as mixed mode. If you went in with digital, it came out digital, and that was standalone on that particular repeater. If you went in analog, it passed out analog, and it also relayed that audio to the 38 network, so you'd be heard on 38 and vice versa. And it was also acting as the West remote receive site. There was a three-port controller hooked up to it and doing all those functions. Unfortunately, sometimes it would be in between modes, and you'd lose audio in one direction or another from 38 or to that particular system. And we also needed, it was a short cabinet, 4 foot, 5 foot, something like that. And we wanted to bring our voting hub out there in order to be able to link to other things easier. And basically there was not enough room. It had to go. That and the combination of it not working always, kind of problematic. We probably could have ironed that out, but space is a bigger issue. And space at commercial sites is hard to come by, and especially so if you're, you know, not willing to pay much in rent. So it's currently unplugged, sitting in the shop and waiting its next location. We're going to put it back on the air. But it'll probably be a P25 standalone machine, not linked to 238. So, one second here. As Bob mentioned, we have been tossing the idea around of doing a simulcast configuration where 443.8 is transmitted from multiple locations, kind of like remote receive sites, but the same for the transmit side. It's done in commercial service for paging. It hasn't been affordable / technically easy to do in ham world because of equipment, frequency stability, things of that nature, but there's a lot of commercial hardware that's available fairly inexpensively nowadays, and you can get a GPS frequency reference to attach to some of this hardware, so it locks you on frequency and off you go. So we're contemplating that for New Berlin, which at that point, Roger, you probably wouldn't need an antenna to hear it. And as Bob mentioned, there's a receiver
there already, so getting into it shouldn't be a challenge for you, just hearing it. Also for Matt and his subterranean vault down there, lead line vault, you'll probably be able to hear it quite a bit better. So that's on the quasi drawing board for next year. We've got some of the hardware, and some of it's still R&D. It needs work, so what have you. Any questions before I drone on?
And 9YNU.
Yep, see, we're approaching 9 o'clock, so I've got more material, but I can also go sit on the couch, so your pleasure.
Oh, no, we're talking. Usually Roger tunes out at this time. We do a 7-3 round, but just wanted to do a slight 7-3 round for Roger, and then see if there are any more check-ins that want to check into the net. So if you don't mind, Amo, give me just a second. Roger, 7-3 round, or are you sticking around?
Yeah, I'll tune over to the other one and say 73s, and when I'm done there, I'll come back if you guys are still here. I'll definitely want to rejoin you again. This is interesting, and I love it. Do appreciate it. Okay, 73s, and we'll catch you later. KG9 GP.
Roger, Roger. I'll note you as coming back, so no need to recheck there. All right, any other check-ins? A Alpha 3Z Zulu. Come now. This is on 9YNU, next control.
This is Kilo Charlie 9, Charlie Mike Tango, mobile check-in.
Not recognizing KC9 CMT. All right, any other stations? A Alpha 3Z Zulu. All right, Amo, back to you. The count is at 23 people on tonight's net. And 9FBF and 9YNU. Thank you for being tonight's guest speaker on your own network, and I appreciate it having this education here. It's kind of nice to understand the system in this detail. So thank you, Emo, and 9FBF, take it away, and 9Y.
Okay, you might want to add Howard. Jumped in there early with his basement signal there. WA9TOP, Tango Oscar Papa. Listening down there. Alrighty. GE Deltas and Bob's collection. He could tell you how many he had, but just in case the wife's listening, that probably wouldn't be prudent, but there are many. Although many of them are, of course, 20, 25 years old, and many have issues. You know, some don't transmit, some don't receive, some don't work always. So we pick and choose, and at some point we're going to have to put them on the bench and do a little service work. But as long as you have ones that work, then, you know, that just keeps getting postponed, but what have you. And yeah, 20 years from now, we need to find couple of 25, 30-year-old Bob and Amos to continue this, because at some point we're going to forget what we did and lose interest, who knows what. So we'll be accepting resumes and applications at the end of the net. Anyhows, so hardware-wise, that's Milwaukee. Nope. Allenton, when did that appear? Late 89, 90, something like that. I'll drop some names and call signs here. Our good friend Bill, K9UCU, is responsible. I blame him or thank him, I'm not sure which, for many of the sites we have. So he's helped create a lot of this system and create a nice little paying job for me and Bob. But he ran into somebody that had access to a commercial spot up in the Allenton area, and of course we couldn't say no. So that became the Allenton system. And like most things, started out very basic, a couple of radios. I think they were Motorola MoCom 70s, so unless you're 50 years old, you won't know what that is, but old radio, wasn't terribly reliable 20 years ago, but it grew, and that's now a hub site, and the Bonelac, Oshkosh, Ripon, Baraboo systems all use that as their link frequency. They listen to Allenton, and then they have directional link beams that...
Timeout. Timeout. Reset. N9G.
Hey, that works pretty good if I'm watching the meter there.
Repeater.
So, the remote repeaters, Baraboo, Ripon, what have you. If you're on that one of those systems, you transmit and your signal goes via transmitter to a link beam to Allenton. Allenton picks what's active. There's a voter prioritizer there, so it only listens to one at a time. So if two guys key up, it'll only grab one of them and then passes that information down to 38 and rebroadcasts it here. And 38 also pumps it over All-Star and off to Las Vegas and other folks that link in. Occasionally Robert, WNRCG, has a repeater he sets up when he goes up to the UP for skiing and winter activities, and those guys come check in from up there, so all that kind of cool stuff. Allenton is configured a lot like 38, big cabinet, lots of receivers, but it's also a transmitter, full-blown repeater. So that's the hardware over there. The remote, other repeaters are actually slaves of Allenton. If Allenton's not running, those other machines aren't running either. They require Allenton to be there for the linking schema to work. And that's done once again to minimize delays in the system. So, you know, a second, second and a half is typical for a delay between throughout the network. So it's considering that there's 70 plus repeaters, receivers, and transmitters active, that's pretty darn good. It all happens pretty quick. I'll pause for a second. Let's see here. Brief segue, I guess, into test equipment and where that's at. When we started out, we pretty much had, I think, a couple of multimeters and a frequency counter and not much else, mostly due to cost, and yeah, pretty much that's it. Cost too much. Equipment has gotten quite a bit cheaper as time has gone on. You can buy test equipment now for a fraction of what it used to cost. I think the first service monitor Bob and I bought was about $2,500, and we split the cost on two credit cards to get that going, and it was night and day as far as being actually able to, you know, adjust things properly deviation-wise. Otherwise, you'd switch from site to site, and the audio levels would be up and down. And in general, it didn't sound very good. It covered pretty well, but the fidelity was sometimes lacking. Nowadays, there's more test equipment available due to the conversion to digital. A lot of service shops have to have equipment that does digital protocols like P25, and DMR, Turbo, NextEdge, etc. So they have a lot of nice test equipment that hits the used market. eBay is your friend. Well, until the credit card bill shows up anyway. So at this point we have a pretty nice collection of test gear that's all secondhand, but stuff that was, you know, $40,000, $50,000 new and is, you know,
a fraction of that on the used market. So you got to have that for it to be effective. Otherwise, you can have a lot of stuff, but it doesn't sound very good. Isn't terribly useful or usable. So, any questions on any of that?
And 9YNU.
Yes, sir.
Emil, I mean, I know FM-38 is unique in and of itself, but are there any other repeaters that come close to you guys? Or are like you guys that you're aware of? Or is this pretty much the only repeater that's pretty much statewide and multi-state with the linking? Now you do have a link in Northern Illinois, right? That's on until like 10 o'clock or something, I think. Or do you have plans to go out of state with actual RF? But I guess the main question, are there other repeaters that are as extensive as this that you know of? Back to you, Emil, at 9YNU.
Okay, Joe. Sure, there's many, and there's many that are far bigger, far more complex, and cover a lot of territory. I think the original impetus why we decided to do the Allenton thing was back in the day, one of the UHF machines here in town, 444-850, was linked to a machine up in Plymouth, Wisconsin, which was 444-350. So a couple of the guys had that up and running back in the late 80s. It's like, well, that's kind of cool. We should be able to do that. So, of course, we should have stopped at 2, apparently. That would have been a lot easier, but, hey, you know. Came across more sites, and the price was right, and apparently we had some time on our hands, and well, here we are today. So that's what started it, but LEN and NQIP, the WIN, Wisconsin Interstate Network, covers a good chunk of Wisconsin and into Minnesota. He has far more repeaters on the air. Different linking schema. As far as how his stuff is done, so I think he covers a bigger chunk of territory. I'll go on a limb and say I think ours sounds a little better, audio quality wise. So, Len's a good guy. We've been friends for a long time, so hopefully you'll take that okay. And there's now the WECOM network, VHF network throughout Wisconsin for emergency communications. There's a bunch out west, California and that area. I've had link repeaters for many years. Out east, there's many as well. So, no, it's not, what we're doing is not unique or special. There's plenty of others out there. So, and set up in different methods. And they all have their advantages and disadvantages. Go ahead, Irv.
Well, Emil, just coming from a technical standpoint, being a technician, I did radio communications in the Army, got into satellite communications based on that experience, and did fairly well with Dish Network and DirecTV. PrimeStar was my beginnings with the home satellite segment for man, that's like 20 years ago. Anyhow, but just the attention to detail that this repeater system has, I have not seen another radio network and system. I just remember a couple of debacles in the military because of standards not being pretty much adhered to, but it's just a lot of attention to detail, you know, like listening to Bob speak about how you guys just use the end user PL tone, to use instead of generating your own to save time and take out delays. You know, that's stuff that other people would pretty much not take care of. So you guys have done a phenomenal job, and for an amateur radio project, it sounds very professional. But other than that, nothing further, sir. Back to you, AMO, at 9YU.
Well, it's, didn't start it last week, of course. It's been a long learning process. Some of our early stuff was, if I looked at it now, I'd be like, wow, this is pretty scary. So you learn. There's a lot of things you learn along the way, and the equipment hopefully gets better. I mean, technology is advanced so much that even a basic radio nowadays is superior to what was available in the 80s, 90s, from a technical perspective and reliability. So a good chunk of that is technology marching on. Things have gotten better, and yeah, ideally, if you do it enough, you learn what works and what doesn't work, and your resources grow. And based on my basement shelves, I think they've grown too far. But it's easier to find hardware. You know, back in the day, Hamfest, is where you went for used gear. You didn't buy new stuff because it was prohibitive, expensive. Nowadays, you can hop on eBay or Craigslist or what have you, and often find what you're looking for at reasonable prices. So I just bought another repeater controller earlier this week off eBay. Why? I'm not sure. But couldn't pass up a sale. So anyways, I think that covers repeater stuff, site IDs. If you guys have read some of the stuff on the 38 webpage, site IDs are generated by the controller to tell you where the activity is coming from. Pause for a second. So when I unkeyed there, I had a F, which is Franklin. Let me try again here. Maybe that one seems to like me right now. Go figure. Anyway, Milwaukee has 8 receivers, individual site identifiers for each one. It also lets you know if you're coming in via the Allenton link system, so it sends an A for Allenton. It also sends A if you happen to be on Baraboo or Ripon, or because they all go through the Allenton hub. If you are able to receive Allenton repeater directly, so if you're in that area or you can hear it from a base station, Allenton will generate courtesy tones for those systems. So if Baraboo is active, you'll hear a B on the Allenton repeater, and M for Milwaukee, and things of that nature. The outlying repeaters themselves are as their slaves to Milwaukee and or Allenton have minimal brains. They don't do much besides key up, pass audio, time out, have some control functionality so we can turn stuff on and off, what have you. But they just send a same character all the time. So if you're on Delafield, it always sends a D. It doesn't care where you're coming from. It's always sending a D. If you're on Fond du Lac, it's always sending an F. There's ways of making that propagate through the system, but it gets complex, and it's complex enough already. So we've thought about making changes to that, but there's no clean, easy way of doing it. And plenty of other things on the to-do list. Any questions on any of that? Alrighty, either you're absorbing it or you've nodded off. Okay, let's see here, service-related stuff. What breaks? Well, amplifiers, power supplies, GE Deltas, probably in that order is what
what blows up the most. Amplifiers, by the nature of the beast, generating lots of RF, generating a lot of heat. Many of the commercial sites we're at don't have climate control, so they go from, you know, single digits to 100 plus degrees, and then when you put all that stuff in a cabinet, it's, even if you are blowing a lot of air across it, you're blowing very warm air across it. So amplifiers fail, power supplies fail, even, and the bulk of the stuff we have is commercial surplus, decent stuff, but they still fail. So I have a pretty healthy selection of spare amplifiers, spare power supplies as I come across them at Campus, eBay, friends in the two-way world that might be upgrading, changing. I buy them whenever they're reasonable, and reasonable means anything, you know, several $100 is reasonable for a commercial amplifier. Anything new is, that's good, is north of $1,000 for an amplifier. So we try to buy them used. I've only bought a few new over the years. Cost prohibitive. Power supplies used to be big, heavy transformer-based supplies. Now more and more they're switching supplies. Lightweight, pretty decent current capabilities, and fairly reliable. They vary all over the map. We've got a couple of our sites that seem to like to eat them. I'm not sure if it's voltage surges, transients, what have you, but there's a few places where they seem to pop on a regular basis. That's the main stuff. GE Deltas that we use for transmitters, link transmitters, and drivers for the amplifier. So typically a Delta will run anywhere from 5 to 25 watts to drive an amplifier at a repeater site, for example, to 100 watts. And occasionally Deltas themselves fail. Once again, they're 20, 25 years old, weren't designed to be keyed up and talked down for an hour or better, likely we have here today. So they fail, but we have spares. Antenna and tower work, we do the bulk of it ourselves. I do a lot of tower work, also Bill, K9UCU.
Time out. Time out. Reset.
Alrighty. So that keeps costs down as far as maintaining the stuff. At a lot of the sites we're at, the arrangement to be there is to do some of the work for the site owner. So oftentimes we'll do relamps, lighting work, general maintenance, what have you, to pay for the free site. So, you know, the saying goes, nothing is free. There's a few sites that have very low commitments, but a lot of them do require that you do something in exchange, and that's reasonable. Many people pay real money every month out of their pocket to keep the stuff on the air, so we're pretty fortunate. Any comments or questions on any of that stuff? And on FBF.
KH9GP is back.
And I have a question, KB9SXH.
Welcome back, Roger, and go ahead, John.
Yeah, I'm interested in how much power do you run to get your signal from Baraboo to Allenton, from Fond du Lac to Allenton, and, you know, the link frequencies, and then what are they transmitting down to Milwaukee from Allenton? Just a brief explanation on the power outputs at all the sites, and you have to figure that by ERP, or you get unlimited watts. I doubt that, but could you go into that a little bit?
Sure, good question. Back in the day, we'd and drag a Link Yagi up a tower to whatever height seemed reasonable, usually based on whatever length of coax we had available to us, and plug it in and hope it worked. Usually it did. Sometimes it had some white noise, what have you, but it mostly worked. With the advent of computers and software, and there's a lot of neat resources out there, and they're available. A lot of it's, the better stuff, like most things, the better stuff you pay for. Some of the basic stuff is available free. Radio Mobile is a software package that you can put in your computer, or you can also use it on the web. So you can go online, plug in your coordinates for your two sites, and it'll tell you. You can plug in your, you plug in your frequency of use and feed line losses, transmit power. Plug in some numbers for what you're expecting to use, and it'll tell you if you have a reliable signal path between those two locations. So ideally, we do that and park the antennas at whatever heights are required, and at that point, you need very little power. If the antennas are free space loss, just meaning air loss between you, trying to burrow through a tree canopy or a hillside, you can get by with very little. Most of the links run 10 watts, so not much. A couple of them might be a little higher after a longer pass, might be 20 watts or something like that. Allenton to Milwaukee currently, it's been that way for a long time, but will change hopefully in the near future. 1 second here. Allenton to Milwaukee link currently, it's a relay. It goes from Allenton to Slinger, where we have a receive site, and then it pops back out on a different set of radios, and then gets passed to New Berlin to the hub. So there's a little hop in between. Ideally, with our new change of the voting hub to New Berlin, where it's a little bit higher up, I hope to be able to make that path direct, which will free up some frequencies that we have so we can use them for some other planned projects. So I guess the answer is roughly 10 watts is kind of what we shoot for on the GEs. That way they don't need fans and things of that nature. If you go much past that, then you want to run cooling fans, and things are more likely to fail. Same for the remote receive sites. They're all, in the 10-watt class. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, one more question, then I'll sit back and listen again. Is it better to put a bigger amplifier in or put a bigger Yagi in to get the signal where it's got to go reliably without being noisy? KB9SXH.
When possible, better feed line, better antenna is the goal. Kind of like your ham station at home, If you have a zillion-dollar HF rig, but it's running a piece of RG58 to an 8-foot-long antenna, it's just not going to work very well versus a modest HF radio running to a 100-foot tower with a humongous beam is going to work lots better. So antenna and feed line are critical. At UHF, you've got lots of losses. Between 2 meters and 440, you have roughly 10 dB more of free space loss. So that's 10 times power difference. So effectively, you need to run 10 times as much on UHF as you do on VHF for similar signal strengths. So, and it's also affected more by weather, rain fade, tree canopy, things of that nature. So pretty much everything in the system is Heliax, ideally 7A's, or sometimes bigger, depending on where it's going. Half inch is a little more common for the
link beams, especially if it's shorter runs. Shorter runs means anything under 100 feet. That's sufficient, about 1.5 dB of loss in a 100-foot run of half-inch heliacs, about 0.8 dB for a hunk of 7/8 of that length. So, and beams are fairly inexpensive amplifiers. Expensive, need a big power supply. Problematic, and they spin the meter for your site owner, which, you know, may not like it so much. Anything else, John?
No, that's it, Emil. I got it now. KB9SXH.
Okie doke. So, let's see. Going forward, I don't know. I guess we have plans for a few more systems. We tell our wives that we're, you know, building more repeaters so we can get some of our surplus out of the basement. Yeah, I don't know how true that is, but, you know, that's what we're going with. seem to have collected a lot of hardware, so how best to get rid of it other than, you know, build some more repeaters. Yeah, so ideally we're going to try to get a little bit west. There used to be a repeater out in Cambridge, which is east of Madison. That was owned by Dave, K9FUR. He's kind of gotten out of that over the years, and it's sitting there doing nothing. So, need to grab some of that hardware and put it to use. So, something in the Cambridge-Madison area would be cool for coverage out that way. We used to have a repeater down in Alden, which is just south of Lake Geneva, and that worked very well. That was a couple, the owner of that particular site has passed away, and it's owned by somebody else at this point, and it's an option. Coordination-wise, it's a challenge because of Chicago proximity, Rockford proximity, Milwaukee. Frequencies are getting a little scarce. Matter of fact, like the new Delafield machine is in the low 440, you know, split range, so it's a bit of a challenge down there, but who knows? Also, I'd like to get something north, Sheboygan, Manitowoc, Green Bay, Door County, maybe. I don't know. Be cool, but one of our design goals is to, you know, not to have to drive a half a day to go service something. So 2 hours one way is probably kind of what we're trying to stick to. So we've, you know, occasionally had offers for systems, you know, pulling up in Stevens Point. It's like, I don't go to Stevens Point, and I'm not sure who's paying for my gas to go service it. So some of that comes into play. You know, at some point you have to have some limitations on where you're going with this stuff. 1 second. Corey, if you're listening, the answer is yes. Let's see here. So that's plans as far as additional systems. Digital formats, we've been playing with the P25. It's very common out in the public safety world, so, and that's kind of fun. Other digital formats, DMR/Turbo is getting pretty popular. A lot of folks running that. Fusion has become popular because of the low-cost repeaters. They're not necessarily good, but they are cheap. They work well. Just remember it is a mobile radio inside of a box, so it's problematic at some of the commercial sites as far as selectivity. The format itself seems to work pretty well. D-Star is out there. It's been out there for quite a while. NextEdge, which is a Kenwood digital format. Lots of stuff out there. No real plans on jumping into any of those other than tinkering, but not necessarily adding to the system for a couple of reasons. You have to have internet, broadband internet at any facility that you're planning on linking to since they're digital modes. So many of our sites don't have
internet connectivity, and the ones that do, we don't necessarily have access to. So unless you want to start paying a monthly bill for internet service, makes it a challenge. Voting is problematic. It can be done, but it's difficult, expensive. So in Milwaukee, where we have 8 receivers, to do that in a digital world, that would be expensive and problematic. It doesn't work as well as you would hope it does. So in digital world, probably not. We'll stick with this for a while longer. I figure if Matt's still doing the AMNet, you know, at this point in 2015, well, we can continue to do FM for a few more years. And on FBF. Any questions or comments?
If nobody else does, I do, and I'd want you.
I got one. What happens if I'm still doing AM in 20 years, KC9UDX?
I think you should. There's no reason not to. Irv?
Yeah, Matt, if this net is still going, I'm not going to do the AM net. But, all right, real quick, any further check-ins? A Alpha through Z Zulu. Other station have any questions before I throw in my two?
KD9 ESP.
I'm sorry, last station, can you come back with phonetics, please? AB9, and I couldn't get the rest.
Kilo Delta 9, Echo Sierra Bravo.
Wow, did I not hear that right? Sorry, I got an ear infection left here, but... all right, KD9 ESB, go ahead with your question.
All right, thanks. I actually have two. Number one, have you thought of possibly doing any sort of Peltier cooling for some of the amplifiers? And number two, do you do tours for maybe the Allenton site?
All righty. Pulled you up on QRZ at Brenton. You go by Brenton or something else?
Yes, the name is Brenton. Sorry, I should have probably announced that.
Hey, no problem. Welcome to the net, Brenton. No, I have not done anything with Peltier cooling, or have considered it, I guess. Not sure what's out there in that world, so if you have and have some ideas, Happy to hear them. I've seen them for, you know, PC world and things of that nature, but I'm sure they have them in larger formats. Most of the amplifiers we use are, you know, a rack mount configuration, so often the heat sinks are 12, 15 inches long, you know, in one direction, and 6 to 10 inches long, you know, rectangular. So I'm not sure I would... effectively cool that. So I think with the Peltier, you've got to kind of bond it to the structure, don't you?
Yeah, but the appealing part about it is it acts kind of like an electronic heat pump. So the more kind of the more power you give it, the more heat gets moved. I'm not sure if it would work well for radio or not, but I happen to have 3 or 4 of them sitting around that I'm doing it, thanks, so I might be able to do some experiments.
Okay, very good. You're just kind of on the edge of the system there. Are you portable or on a base station?
Yeah, I'm actually sitting on my couch right now with a Baofeng UV82HP running 7 watts in West Bend, so I'm probably hitting the Allenton site. I
guess I probably should. I'm working on getting some funds for like a base station.
Well, like most things UHF, you must have moved 6 inches because that last transmission was pretty darn solid. So it made all the difference. Alrighty, well, yeah, if you have a couple of those and at some point, if you make some progress in doing something with that from a cooling perspective, you know, snap a photo or two or whatever, and my email address is on QRZ. Fire it off if you want to look at it. As far as tours like Allenton, well, we haven't been there in quite a while, which is good. Means nothing's broken. Actually, Allenton needs a few tweaks, but it's a matter of other projects getting to it and stuff like that. But I can try to, if you want to pass along, actually email me since my info is up there, send me your information, and if I can give you some lead time on where we're actually going, I'll let you know and you can take a peek. By as a default, no, we don't, just because many reasons. A lot of times we don't plan that well. It's like, let's see, we got tomorrow available. Let's go work on something. But, you know, that's not much lead time for some folks. Some of the commercial sites we're at are very strict. Pass list, keys, access cards, blah, blah, blah. So it's difficult, and the site owners don't want other folks in there. Some are pretty pretty good and don't mind. So when possible, we try to accommodate if somebody's interested. So send me an email, and we'll see if we can do something. How's that, Brenton?
Yeah, KD9 ESB. I definitely would be interested. I will probably follow up on that maybe this evening or maybe later on this week. Thanks.
Okay, nope. Yeah, no plans in the immediate future. Bob's up, gonna be up north trying to shoot stuff, and I'm gonna be out of town for a little bit, so probably a few weeks out. Alrighty, any other questions, comments?
Why and you?
Yes, sir.
Alright, before moving on, Brenton, can we have your call sign, keep things legal with the FCC, KD9 ESPN, why and you?
KD9 ESC NYNU, go ahead.
All right. Just for everybody new on the net, for the new hams, whenever you're on the net, remember we got ID every 10 minutes. And if you notice, some of us pretty much throw our call signs at the end to make sure that we meet the requirements. So you just did that. Thank you. I just wanted to keep that going there. And AMO, two things that you keep bringing up. My first question is P25. Do you see that being possibly like the new phase for FM38 as far as moving forward with the availability of P25 radios, or do you possibly see a different digital mode? N9FBF and 9YNU, and then after that, I have another question.
P25 is prevalent in public safety, which is kind of why we went that way. Some of the equipment became available. Retired commercial stuff. Yeah, I guess that's the main factor, just the availability of hardware and there being a lot of it out there. As far as going forward, no, I have no real plans on doing a lot with P25. There's a couple of couple of guys locally, the 443050 repeater system, Tony, KT9AC. He's doing some cool stuff with P25 and wide area linking and things of that nature. So there is some movement in that area, in this, you know, in Milwaukee and a bunch in Chicago, especially since that's a Motorola stronghold, lots of equipment available. So I think it's cool because it's a lot of it's out there and it's good commercial quality stuff versus some of the having stuff, which is works well as far as the protocols and things of that nature, but sometimes the ruggedness is lacking for commercial sites. Not bad if you plop it on a 60-foot tower in your backyard, but move it to a commercial site with 50 other transmitters and some of those things fall apart. Go ahead, Irv.
Okay. No, it's just your mention about P25 mixed mode, and you know, I've been trying to get my own ham projects going, and just life keeps getting in the way. So I understand about having a day off and being available. So, anyways, I kind of see all my fires kind of coming to an end here shortly. By shortly, I mean within 6 months. We can talk later about a couple ideas I have. My second question, did you ever, I think you worked with Steve YTY.
Yeah, in the mid to late 90s.
Yeah, one time we went to see a movie, I forgot which one it was. Speaking of wives, just something that happened, I'll tell you later. But have your wives caught you on the air when you guys should not have been playing on the air? Or how much static have you gotten from the XYL department there? You've been mentioning them, but with this project, how's the love been? Have they been supportive or just kind of a growing pain? A 9YNU.
Oh boy. We're not going there, are we? Okay. No, both Bob and I are pretty fortunate. Both of our spouses are, comfortably numb to our repeaters / radio activities. So, been doing it for a long time, and they're, it's background noise to them, you know. Right now I've got, usually there's a radio in the kitchen, a radio upstairs, and fan most of the time, and it's usually background noise. Doesn't bother her, so no issues there. Time-wise, Bob and I try to get together when we're working on projects, which kind of, you know, between everything else, life happens, as they say, so not like a ongoing thing, but we try to get together one night a week after work to work on some particular stuff, and if we're actually building a system or what have you, we'll tend to get together on a part of a day or a good chunk of a day on a weekend. So I guess time-wise, we probably consume a good, day out of a week of personal time playing with this stuff. And mostly we do it because we like doing it. We're not parked on the air for hours on end talking about what have you. It's some commute time here and there, he'll catch us, and the rest of the time we like to play behind the scenes and build things and tinker and figure stuff out and climb towers and what have you. So it's, some people are big into HF and contesting and DX chasing and what have you, and whilst we do a little bit of HF stuff, Bob does a bit more than I do. This is kind of a labor of love, I guess. Why? I don't know. It's just kind of cool, I guess. So, story on that. Speaking of Bob, are you back on the road? And then GMT and then FBF. He's out picking up one of his kids from UW Madison, so he's commuting tonight. Anywho's, reached the bottom of my list. There's plenty of other stuff I could go into, but I think that covers a big chunk of what it's all about and where it originated and kind of where it's going. So, unless there's some other segues or questions or whatever, we'll start ramping it up here as it's getting close to nap time. Any questions, comments, thoughts? And on FBF. Okie doke. Irv, on ship. See if there's any other late check-ins. And probably wrap it up. And then FBF.
Alright, this is N91NU, net control. Are there any further check-ins to tonight's tech talk? This is N91NU, net control, standing by. Alright, AMO, looks like that's pretty much it for tonight. Let's see, it's 9:50. I want to say this is the longest tuck talk that I've had. It's been about a year. I got to actually check the records and see when the first time I did this, when I took this over from Les. But thank you. Appreciate you being on the air tonight as FM38's net manager. but let's see, we had 24 check-ins tonight. I had a miscount, and then, but I did include TOP in there, in the count when I gave it to you before. I just, for some reason, had an extra count in there. I don't know where I got that from, but 24 people checked in tonight and or participated. I got Dale in there, AB90W. So those are the stats for tonight. Thank you, AMO. Let's see, for those still listening, we have a 2-meter AM net on 145.7 megahertz at 10 p.m. Just a few minutes. Join Matt, KC90DX, if you're in the Milwaukee area and or want to try from further. And I had something else here. I'll give it back to AMO for any further things here, and I kind of regroup here. AMO?
All right, very good. Already know, sidebar here for the heck of it. I often have a receiver running here with some digital recording software, so it records off the air, off 38. So occasionally it's kind of interesting, especially when there's weird noise and stuff on the system. It's useful to be able to play it back and see what's happening. That and see who's who's on at 2 a.m. Occasionally, there's some activity. But I do have a running recording of tonight's event, so if somebody has need to listen to some of this stuff in detail or want to have you email me, I can send you a file, but keep some of this stuff for historical perspective. Who knows what we'll be doing 5 or 10 years from now. So, thanks. Thank you all for checking in. Hopefully you found it informative and semi-interesting and not too boring. And stay tuned for new stuff. Keep on plugging away. Back to net. Catch you all later. And 9FBF.
Thanks, Samo. Yeah, I was trying to use the HT because I knew I wasn't going to be talking a lot, and I'm trying to record off of my base radio, but that plan failed. But yeah, if you can get me a copy, I'll take a copy of that, please. Irvin.Roman@gmail. Or actually, I plan on talking to you sooner. Meeting up with you. I'd like to talk to you about a couple ideas, but we can coordinate that later. But, all right, is there any final business for this net? This is N91. I'm going to be hosting a net, their mission control here for the next balloon launch coming up on November 14th. If I'm not mistaken, that'll happen around between 8 and 9 a.m. in the morning. Mission commander will be Joe, N9UX. And I'd like to thank Bob and Amo for maintaining this fine network system here that allows us to chase these balloons. So stay tuned for more information coming up on that. 9-1 has a swap fest this weekend at the Elks Lodge. And that's pretty much it. So, but any final business for this night? At 9-1, you see anybody?
This is KD9, CVP.
KD9, CVP, N9YNU, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to thank Emil and Bob and you, Irv, for all the great information that you gave us this evening on the FM38 and all the systems and towers and repeaters, how everything worked. It's really good as a new ham to learn about these things and how all the link stuff works. Talking to you, you know, from Appleton, like I said, to the Oshkosh, and you folks all around the south and the southeast corner there, it's just great to do all this stuff. So thank you very much for all the listening and learning this evening from Emil, Bob, and or Bill. 7-3 from KD9CBP, back to net.
Thank you, Rick. Thanks for checking in every week and or when you can. And thanks for being part of the net, excuse me. And each and every one of you, you guys help make this net possible, giving me something to do every Thursday night here. And I appreciate that you guys give me the opportunity to come into your living rooms, cars, or walks, wherever you're listening to me from, and this program. Network, so thank you. Amo, anything you want to add?
Yeah. Hello, Rick there, and thanks for your comments. Glad you found it useful and informative and all that good stuff. And yeah, I mean, you know, Bob and I don't need 7 repeaters to talk across Milwaukee. We can do that on Simplex, so it's there for the ham community to use and enjoy, you know. So it's especially cool when somebody can, you know, get on from Appleton and talk to somebody, Milwaukee or Baraboo or what have you, that normally wouldn't be able to do that. So that's kind of what it's all about. So cool. Glad you find it useful. And on FBF.
KB9SXH.
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, thanks, sir. I'd like to ask if there are control operators and if you have a membership roster.
Yes and no. Control labs, obviously me and Bob listen a lot and are able to do that. There's also a couple other folks that have been on that task for many years. I'm not sure if they want to be
named or not, so I won't do it right here, but I can always let you know on the phone or something if you're interested. And roster, I haven't kept one for, since I think 94 was the last entry I saw as far as members per se and things of that nature. So it's all, I think we can go into a little bit of that on the webpage. You know, it's pretty much self-funded, you know, occasionally somebody. We get some nice equipment donations from friends in the two-way biz and things of that nature, and lots of donated labor and expertise and things of that stuff. Finance-wise, we pretty much pay for it. But, you know, if you want to show up at Maxim's and buy us dinner, we're okay with that. So, you know, not a problem. Go ahead, John.
All right, I just might do that, Amo. I know me and the wife are going out there for her birthday, which is coming up on the 3rd. And she really likes that place, so, wow, I didn't know that. Maybe I'll drag her along a little more often. She's moving to first shift now, so she'll be available in the evening for the Wednesday gathering. All right, thanks, Emo. That's all I needed to know. And you guys did a great job. Bob, Irv, Emo, SuperNet. I listen every week. I don't always check in, but I listen every week. And that was probably the best net I ever heard. Thanks again, all you guys. Back to net, or whoever gets it. KB9SXH. See ya.
I'll sign out quick, and then FBF. Thanks, John. Irv.
Thanks, AMO. I found it very informative, a lot easier to follow than previous FM38 chat I heard. So, but, all right, any final business, any final monkey business here on the net? 9YNU, standing by.
KC9YPK, comment.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, thanks to Irv and Bob. Yeah, good night, Irv. Yeah, real informative. I liked it a lot. I learned a bunch. So, back to net control, KC9YPK.
DB. I'm sorry, last station, can you come back, please?
W9, Romeo, Delta, Bravo. I just wanted to be a late check-in. I was listening to the end of it there, and unfortunately, didn't find it in time to participate. But anyway, I just thought I'd add to your numbers. This is W9RDB, back to net.
Thanks for checking in, W9RDB. My name is Irv, Echo Romeo Victor. What's your name? And, yeah, we'll just start there.
Hi, Irv. Pleased to meet you. My name is Randy, Romeo Alpha November Delta Yankee. And I'm on the east side of Madison over by the Oscar Mayer plant.
N9GMT. Repeater.
All right, welcome, Randy. Tonight, I kind of consider this more like a campfire net, just kind of laid back and cam friendly and whatnot. And tonight I was kind of getting through the check-ins because I knew we were going to have a long program with Emil tonight. And but yeah, we're on every Thursday night here at 8 on the N9GMT repeater system FM38. I don't know which
frequency pair you're coming in from, but yeah, you're more than welcome to join us every Thursday night here, and we start at 8. Wednesday nights I run a swap net on the 145.13 repeater in Milwaukee on 9LKH, and we're linked in at that point, so you get to hear us on Wednesday night if you want to check in there too as well. But welcome, Randy. Any questions?
No, Irv, well, just one. I guess I didn't catch the start time for your swap net on Wednesdays. And also, I'm pretty sure I'm going through the variable repeater, 444.5.
Due to life getting in the way, I haven't really gotten out of the Milwaukee area, but that sounds about right. And I'm sure people jump in and correct me on that, but if I'm wrong. But yeah, SwapNet Wednesday nights at 8, or excuse me, Wednesday night at 9, Thursday at 8.
Hey, QSL that for sure, and you can comment it. I'll stop back by and visit, and always like to hear what people have for sale or trade too. It's kind of a fun part of the hobby. So, all right, Irv, nice meeting you, and I'll try and catch you next week, maybe on Wednesday and Thursday. We got a local net here in Madison on. Well, actually, it's at it's at 8 o'clock on the 1.5 repeater here. And so I'll look for you after that, and that's over. As I said, nice meeting you, and thanks for making me feel welcome, and we'll catch you next week. This is W9RDB saying 73s to everyone that might be listening, and we'll catch you next week. I'll be clear.
Not a problem, Randy. If we meet up next week, I got a story to tell you about a friend of mine named Randy. But, all right, any other check-ins with or without traffic? And 9YNU, standing by. All right, with no further traffic, and 25 check-ins, and probably 7 times as many listeners. Thank you all for participating tonight. And we're going to say 7-3 and return a repeater back to its normal, wonderful FM-38 self. Thank you all for participating tonight. As mentioned, 25, the longest tech talk as of yet. This is your nutty uncle, N9YNU, saying 7-3 and good night. And securing the net now at 10:06 p.m.